Let's open our Bibles back up to 1 Samuel. And tonight, God willing, we'll go into the 20th chapter. But let's kind of recap a little bit from last week. In that 19th chapter, we saw divinely, I should say not divinely, but more importantly, sovereignly, the rejection and the detest of the grace of God, really, by King Saul. It wasn't that he hated David, he hated grace. And it's such a shame, because it was the grace of God with Saul that did everything for Saul. And that's our lives, brothers and sisters, and as Christians, is embrace the grace of God. It's a good fight of faith to believe in the grace of God, not to believe in yourself, whether it was for your successes or your failures. You see, we can get lost in ourselves because we were such a failure. We can get lost in ourselves because we think we're so successful. We just need to lose ourselves in Jesus. Amen. And that's the one, praise God, that is it for everything. But see, Saul, he didn't want to see that all the great salvation that was brought through David for Israel. And it was a miracle, as we said last week and just rejoiced in. It wasn't that God used an adult or a mighty warrior to bring that salvation. He used a kid. It was so sweet that you could just stand back and say, well, this was God. There wasn't any doubt what happened here. It was God and his grace. And but yet, Saul, he just wanted to look to his own works. He just wanted people to look to him. And Saul just wanted to destroy David, which was Saul was just trying to basically make grace vain in his life. And brothers and sisters, that really is our good fight of faith, that we don't reject the grace of God. See, our flesh or Saul's flesh will always go against grace when we want our flesh to be acknowledged, when we want our flesh to be magnified. In whatever way it is, we will turn away from grace in that. We need to acknowledge the blood of Jesus for everything. All the power is in that blood. That was a finished work on the cross. It's done. And I thank God. The reason I'm more than a conqueror is because of through Christ who loved me. And I thank God that we know that. And this is where we put all of the glory is upon him and his finished work on the cross. We need to rejoice in the mercy and the grace of God that keeps us moment by moment. And I'm thankful to God. How could I not magnify the grace of God? I know it's only because of the grace of God that's with me. But at the same time, how could we not? It's so marvelous. It's so magnificent. But that's why we need to preach the word of his grace. That's why we need to preach the truth in love. That's why it needs to be spirit and truth. And I'll tell you what, in that, it'll be all grace. Hallelujah. Because that's the will of our God. And we thank the Lord for it. So, we left off in chapter 19. And Saul, once again, after he, you know, swore that he wasn't going to ever lift his hand against David. We saw that lasted for two verses, I think it was. Total of maybe 8.5 minutes. And he picked up his javelin again. And he threw that javelin across the room and tried to stick him to the wall. David slips away. So now we're in chapter 20. And what we're going to see is, you know, the anointing was on David, but because Jonathan recognized that anointing, and who was the anointing was upon Jonathan. Isn't that how it works for us? When we recognize who is the anointed, we have the anointing. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank God that as we walk in the will of God, which is his word is his will, that anointing is upon our lives. And I thank God that that's a life that walks in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And I'm grateful to God how simple that truth is and that all of his benefits are toward me. And I thank God that all of his benefits are the word. It's all Jesus, and he's not withheld a thing from me. So I walk in that light, I walk in that spirit, and praise be to God. Oh, the power of his might that is in every single step. And we're grateful to God for that. And see, Jonathan, as we know, has an anointing on his life. And that anointing is growing because of that love that is being shed abroad in a sense in his heart. See, Jonathan is this bridal type for us. And he is. It's so magnified in his life of all of the things that are going on in Jonathan. We're seeing a type, a shadow, a metaphor for us who have the better thing and exceeding great and precious promises. But we're seeing it just in, I think it's in vivid living color in the life of Jonathan like I'd never seen it. And I'm thankful to God. But tonight we're going to see that Jonathan is being called out to even more and greater love, just like us. Amen? Isn't our love to grow more and more? Appreciated Sweet Michael's sermon on Sunday night. Just encouraging again in that love that it just be shed abroad. And it's just letting God do that. We can't promote love. I can't, I'm going to love more. I get more of Jesus in my life and the word of his grace in my life. That's what love is. He is love. And I thank God that that's the way it'll work. But we're going to see how the Lord loves to see our love grow for him. Amen? We're going to see this in Jonathan tonight, is that the Lord wants to see the love of God grow in us. He's going to put us in situations that are going to magnify that love and magnify that grace that would grow in our lives and give us those opportunities for that miracle to happen. And that's the Father, see, that's the Father in his will, because he's seeking to find and to prove the true lover for his son. That's that precious encouragement in John. He's seeking the true worshiper. That's the true lover of his son that will worship him, worship his son in spirit and in truth, see? Not in my effort, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what's beautiful. That's when, you know, you get that heart that's in a type like David and you're just dancing before the Lord. You don't care what anybody else is doing or what everybody else is doing. You just care what God is doing and what your Lord and how beautiful he is. That's what turned on in David was those psalms and things. They're so intimate to the beauty of his Lord and the dialogue that he had. And see, the Lord wants that from us. He wants that dialogue. But you know, as I was thinking about this as well, this is, the Word of God is a love story. And I'm seeing it more and more of the great love stories within the Word of God, but the whole Word of God is a love story. But see, you can either, you know, read a love story or you can be in the love story. You can either, and see, that's the vision by the grace of God that we need to have. And I am encouraged on Sunday, see, the Lord incorporates all time. He does. He incorporates all time, past, present, future. Time's nothing to God. By faith, these ones that were used and inspired of the Holy Ghost to write the Word of God, they transcended time. They saw themselves. They had a vision. As John on that Isle of Patmos, think of the vision that God gave him. He saw that vision. He was there. And just like in the Word of God, when we read these things, I pray that we're not reading a story, not even just being encouraged in faith. I'm there. I see this transpiring. And not only do I see that transpiring there, this same faith is transpiring in my life for me. And I see that vision. This wasn't just something that happened a long time ago. This is happening right now for me. And by the grace of God, that's not an imagination. That's called faith. And faith has a vision. And faith has the vision of the Lord. It has the vision of the throne room. And the throne room sees all things. And by the grace of God, this is the only thing that endures forever. It's the Word of God. It's alive. Yes, these were happenings that happened, but it's alive. You get it? Can't explain it. But you know what I'm saying. God, give us that vision. Praise the Lord. So, let's go ahead and read the first 25 verses. And David fled from Naoth into Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeks my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." So Jonathan is touched by David's words. And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." See what the Lord, in a sense, encourages us? He tells us, doesn't he? We have discernment. And this is the discernment that David's giving to Jonathan. And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as the soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Then Jonathan said unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee." Oh, you talk about love. That's dedication. He's stepping out. And I believe whether or not he really knows the ramifications, he's going to know them real quick, isn't he? And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon. I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought the servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, let us go out into the field." And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father above tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not unto thee, and show it thee, and the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So you see here, Jonathan's heart is completely for David. His heart is completely to see David take the throne and completely to rejoice in that crowning that David will have as king. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Isn't that something? Jonathan is there defending, and he's the one that is, you know, again, going to be used of the Lord to spare David, but he just wants to hear David's words of love back to him. It's just beautiful. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want that to just soak in for us with the Lord. Amen? Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon. Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Hazel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go find them arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on the side of thee, take them, and then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord lives. But if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord has sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. We'll stop there for tonight. We've got so much there, I don't even know how we get through it in our lifetime. But we're going to try, and I'm sure the Holy Ghost is going to inspire. Now, the lover of our soul longs for this dialogue with our hearts moment by moment. And I love this. This is, again, this is how romantic our Lord is. These detailed words of these words of love. And remember this, again, this is the love of souls. And this is transcends any love that we know here upon this earth. That's why it talks about it exceeds, their love exceeds the love for a woman. It's because it exceeds the love for any love we know on this earth. This is the love of God. And I thank the Lord how this love is between these two. But that's what we see here. And that is, again, what the Lord wants with us moment by moment. He wants to hear that dialogue of love. Amen? That's what the lovers do, you know. I mean, you know, if your dialogue is as a child with the Lord, you know what you're going to do. You're just going to, and we always ask, don't get me wrong, but that's all you're going to do. You're just going to ask. Right? That's what kids do. Well, I need this. I want that. I need that. Have to have that. Amen? But you know, lovers, they want to know the heart of the person they're talking to. They even want to know what their desire is. A lot of, you know, in the kids, I mean, it has to be a pretty special kid to say, Mom, what would you like? Kind of takes you back, go, whoa, that was a moment. I better write that down. But when you're in love, it's kind of what the only thing you ask. What's upon your heart? What would you desire? What would you have me to do? Not as a servant, but as a love. You see? Because a prisoner of love truly is a servant, in a sense. But at the same time, that love is always reciprocated even beyond with our Lord. And we can never give what he gives. Amen. So we're so thankful. But I'm so thankful I can give him all praise and thanksgiving. But see, he wants to hear our heart's desires and the words of love that we have for him. The words of our hearts that, praise God, we are knit together with him. And I love those first four verses of this chapter. Let's read them again. As David flees to Ramah, and he comes before Jonathan, and he says, David says, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeks my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, David, you're not going to die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, that he won't show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? Is it not so? So we're seeing this devotion of Jonathan. You're seeing this commitment, this concern. And Jonathan, he still loves his father. Don't get me wrong. It's not that, you know, he wants to go kill his father, destroy his father. He loves his father, but he loves David more. And he knows that the anointing is upon David. And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knows that I have found grace in thine eyes. Isn't that wonderful? See, we don't hide our light under a bushel, do we? See, a bridal saint not only lets them, you know, somebody know that they love the Lord, there's just, Jonathan expressed it to Saul, but Saul knew it by Jonathan's actions. Amen? Don't have to walk around with a Bible. They see the love of Jesus written upon us. There's a mark upon them. And even with Christians, they'll ask you, what's really going on here? Most of the time you become a plague after they really understand what's going on. But, you know, these are the things. So, and he says, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, and truly as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. And then said Jonathan unto David, this is so magnificent, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee. Now, this just transcends this whole study even into another level. Jonathan loved grace. Saul turned against the grace. He wanted to defeat the grace. He wanted to destroy it. Jonathan wants to do everything he can to promote, to encourage, to nurture, to be around it. Everything he wants to do is for this grace to be lifted up. Amen? See, Jonathan is the one that has the right to the throne. Remember that. He is the oldest son of King Saul. So this is his right, in a sense, of how the royalty would transcend this way. But Jonathan wants to not exalt himself. Jonathan doesn't want to exalt his family. Jonathan doesn't want to exalt his heritage. Jonathan wants to exalt grace. Isn't that awesome? I just think it's so wonderful. This is all he wants to do. And it's so sweet because he emits grace back to the beauty of grace. This is the grace for grace that's going on. Jonathan has received all that grace because he heard the words of David. Matter of fact, he heard all the words, didn't he? And at that moment that he heard the whole story, his soul, it says, was made one. It was just entwined, knit together. With David's. And that's what happens by the grace of God, those that will listen to all the words of Paul's gospel. You fall in love with the Lord. There's a love. There's a knitting together. And you can't really understand it, but you know he's got you. Because when you said, hey, I will go, you can't get away. It's so wonderful. And I'm grateful to God how, and I remember that sweet sister, she used that word, he just pursues you. And I love that. And he does. He just pursues you. But then you begin to pursue him. And then it is. And as Brother Kevin said so many times, that love match that goes on, it's just, It's not an effort at all. It just oozes. It is. It's the Holy Ghost, is it not? That's the geyser, the love shed abroad. You know what that is? That's a geyser like we have up at Yellowstone. It just, you know, it's just what love does. And so this is what's so sweet about this, is that Jonathan is completely smitten and ravished. He is a prisoner of love. When you say, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee. David's still just a young man. Jonathan's in his 40s. I mean, this is kind of crazy. David's just a shepherd boy. Jonathan, you're a great warrior. What is going on here? Now, David has done some amazing, marvelous things because of the Lord, but that love was always there, and it wasn't because of what David did. It wasn't because he slayed a giant. It wasn't because he saved Israel. It was because of the words that David spoke. It was the word. It wasn't the acts. It was the ways of his heart. And again, that's how we fall in love with the Lord. That's why all of the smoke and the mirrors and the song and all of these different things and the entertainment that can go on, that'll never cause you to fall in love with the Lord. It'll give you an experience for a moment. It might make your give you chills or whatever it is. And you know it. I love when my hair stands up because of the love of God. But I want it to be lasting and forever. And that's what true love is. And I was thinking how thankful we need to be for true love. People, you know, even in the natural, they take true love for granted. It's a rare thing. And you need to nurture it and cherish it. And by the grace of God, this is the only true love there is. By the grace of God, let's nurture and cherish it. Amen. We're going to have this forever. And it's marvelous of what the Lord is offering to us. It's beyond comprehension. But what happens is we become that prisoner of love, and we fall more and more in love with the grace of God. Verse 17, if you just jump there again, we'll kind of go back and forth. This is why. Jonathan caused David to swear again. Now listen to that. Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan wanted David to tell him over and over how much he loved him. How are we with the Lord? I need the Lord to tell me all the time, and he does, but I like to tell him. And you know how I tell him? I search the scriptures. Lord, tell me how much you love me. I want to hear it again. I love to hear the words of the Lord that, honey, I won't forsake you. There's nothing that'll separate you from me. Hallelujah. I love you. But see, those are things I hear because I know the word of God, but I also need to read that. I need to hear that. I need to be amongst people that have that. Because once again, as we're pressing toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we're a body. Amen? We're a body. And that body is His. He's the head. And so in that love, truly, there's one we worship. It's only Him. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to have love that's not the same for the head than the body. You understand? I worship Him. He is my God. He's my Savior. He's the only one I worship. But I'm so thankful that love that I have for Him, I love you with because of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm getting this. Hallelujah, because He's bringing this to my heart. That's the love that He's talking about here. This is the soul that is knit together with Him. And isn't that something that it spoke of it here, but it talks about our knit, compacted soul, in a sense, in our body with Him. We're tightly fit, knit together. Amen? You talk about that. That's incredible. That's who we are with Him. So we need this earnest desire to hear the word of His love to us. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we're here to hear Jonathan study. Most people would hear this Jonathan study. Where is that going? No, it's just, I just want to go. I don't know about you. The only place of fellowship for me is the Holy of Holies. I don't want to stand out there. I thank God of the brazen altar and all that thing. But I'll tell you what, I'm in the golden altar. I'm in that golden altar of incense. Praise God. And it's, I want to be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to Him. Amen. And this is what this is. So there's a plan here. And the plan is, praise God, is how David and Jonathan are going to meet again. Think about that. And here's another type and shadow, and this is marvelous what's happening here. They're thinking about how they're going to meet again. Okay? even though they're trying to seek peace with Saul or trying to find out where Saul really is, David kind of already knows where Saul really is. Jonathan has to go through the motions a little bit. But if you think about the end result here, this is all about David and Jonathan meeting up again. And let's think about that. Because this is a type and shadow in this little section we have here of how we're going to meet up with our groom someday. This is how the plans that we are making, that the Lord has already has for us, but we're agreeing with Him. We're going to exit this evil forever someday. Isn't that something? We're going to meet. Stay with this, because I tell you what, you talk about a romantic, this is our Lord. I've always loved romantic stories, always have. I like romantic TV shows and that kind of stuff, goofy that way. But I'll tell you, this is just beyond. And I'm so thankful this is something the Lord has put on my heart to love. But here we go, verse 18. Let's go on over there and read that. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty." Now, in a lot of ways, Saul's going to miss David, not missing him. Saul's just going to know he ain't there. There's only one guy that's going to really miss David. That's Jonathan. He's already telling him, "I'm going to miss you. I want to be with you all the time." There's this wonderful encouragement that we have. And is this our love with Jesus? Do we love that? And thank God that He's always with me, but am I always with Him? You see? He never leaves me nor forsake me, but am I with Him in that love? Are my eyes upon Him, or am I squirming to look at something else? Am I caught up in this present world? Am I caught up even as the Shulamite? Am I looking at my myrrh? You know? Or am I looking to get to that door? Woo, He's there. Bam, I got to get it, you know? That's looking to Him. Now, verse 19, it says, "And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Hazel." Now, do you think about the business that's at hand right now? Oh, there's a business at hand right now. Matter of fact, it's called the Paul's Gospel business. The marriage, amen. The proposal, praise God. And I thank God for all of this type and shadow. But this three, see how this says, "And when thou hast stayed 3 days," the interpretation literally on that is three times. And I was thinking about, you know, Lord, why would this say three times? And I was encouraged of my heart. I was thinking about the appearing of the Lord for us that believe. You know, first He appeared in His birth. The second appearance was His resurrection. And a third appearance is going to be here shortly for those that are loving His appearing in the air. So, once again, this means three times. And we're going to see this three all the way through here. It's a common number that we see all the time. And I thank God, because this speaks of the Trinity. This is speaking of the Holy Ghost. And you understand, we have, praise God, the infilling of the Holy Ghost that brings these things alive and real and all power to us. So, this third, if you will, after these 3 days or this third meeting, listen to what happens here again. "Thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for my Lord to come down quickly. Amen? And this does mean to come down quickly in power. This means with exceeding abundance and force. I was thinking about the whirlwind that took Elijah up. And I thank God that that translation for us who believe, and all by the grace of God, to meet Him in the air. Oh, what a rapture is coming. Hallelujah. Now, here's where all of this comes together. The place where the two shall meet is that stone Hazel, even though it's E-Z-E-L, it's Hazel. The meaning is the place of departure. Isn't that something? They're going to meet at the place of departure. Thank you, Lord. That's where we're going to meet. And notice it was just those two. Remember, as this whole thing started, Jonathan was in that room, in the throne room, matter of fact, when he was hearing all the words of David. But Jonathan was the only one that heard all the words, and his soul was knit together. All right? Only Jonathan and David go out into the field. We're going to find that only Jonathan and David know about these things. Everybody else is oblivious to it. That kind of feels like my life a lot of times. You talk to people. I'm thankful to God. He's graced us that we know it and we can share these things together. But most folks, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit and maybe next week, you know, we're shooting arrows at a mark. That's what Jonathan did. Matter of fact, we're shooting arrows at a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we got little lads with us because it's the family of God. But you know what? They don't know what them arrows are about at all. They're just out fetching, serving, grabbing. Whereas we're about a meeting. We're about a meeting at the place of departure. Love his appearing. Amen. The first trump. The place of departure. The place of departure, praise God, is Paul's gospel, isn't it? It's the place of departure that takes us out from among the camp into the field to have this kind of a conversation, to know these things. Praise God. See, it's all in here. These are all of these sweet little encouragements that we have in the Word of God that I think if sometimes we miss these things, I'm glad I didn't. That's all I can say. But Jonathan, as we go on here, he shoots these three arrows. And as I mentioned, it's towards the mark for the prize. It says, in verse 20, it says, "And I will shoot three arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark." Jonathan's shooting exact. But yet this little guy he's going to take in the field with him, this lad, he's not going to know anything about it. Matter of fact, in verse 39, we'll just jump over there in the 20th verse. This little lad that he takes with him to go fetch the arrows, which is part of the plan, it says the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Shulamite had a little sister, but she didn't know anything about marriage. And this little lad didn't know anything about the plan that was going on. It's okay if others don't understand. The thing you got to be concerned with is you. And that you're on the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Only the Lord can give the increase. You just got to run. You pray for people, but you got to move. And we got to move and go on with this. And you can't try to bring everybody with you. And Jonathan really finds out, you know, Dad ain't coming. Matter of fact, Dad's just downright ornery. He's trying not only not to come, he's trying to defeat me and defeat everything about the things of God in my life. And yet he wants such good things for me. He wants me to be king. You have people in your life like that? See, man's good will rob you of God's best. And it will. And we need to see these things and, again, awaken to them. But hallelujah, we have the stone of departure, which is Paul's gospel, which is the meeting in the air. So Jonathan takes the little boy to fetch him. Jonathan shoots them. He said, "If I shoot the arrow short, David, it's safe. But if I shoot him long," I should say, "if I send that lad to go get him long, then you know that Saul's out to kill you." I want us to stop just for a second. Kind of do an overview again of where we've come in the life of Jonathan. What an incredible bridal type this has been. Jonathan, as we were introduced to his life, this wonderful warrior, a man of God, a man mighty in the Lord, a man that loved the Lord and believed God. Amen. We saw that there were so many things about Jonathan's life that were so encouraging in believing God. And he was a testimony to others. He was a testimony to the young man who said, "Hey, you know what? What's the Lord got for me today? What will he work for us today? Let's go on and get some Philistine." There you go. There's a good thing to wake up in the morning. Let me go get some Philistine today, huh? Instead of saying, "Oh, how am I going to get out of bed?" You know, let's go get some Philistine. And you know what Philistine is? Those are things you can't overcome. Those are things you can't even face. So you get out of bed and say, "Lord, let's go get some Philistine today." All right? So you'll know what we're talking about. That'll be our speak. So you see this was Jonathan, and he had that heart. And he was born, if you will, he was born a little Lord of all, wasn't he? He was born the king's son. Amen? And he was born first in line to have the throne. So he was born a little Lord of all. He was all of this. He was confident in the Lord. He was a valiant man. But yet, he hears the words of the anointed. And he humbled himself. And his heart broke. And it didn't matter how much he knew and how much he knew of the Lord and how much love he had in his life. He heard more. He heard it all. And he broke. And he humbled himself immediately. He didn't contemplate it, think about it. It never registered. You know, it happened that moment, didn't it? It said, his heart knit together with David's after hearing all of those words. It didn't say that it took him a week to figure out what were the pros and cons of this. You know, I'm not going to be the king here if I support him. It wasn't all of this at all. It was just, that's the way. That's it. He's the one. And brothers and sisters, that's how we come to the Lord. We know he's our Lord and Savior. But that's how we come to the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul was bold and said, preach no other gospel. It's it. It's the mark. And that was Paul's heart. He said, this wasn't given to me of man. This was given to me of God. This is it. There's nothing else to preach. He didn't go patting people on the head to say, oh, that's great. You're preaching salvation. Oh, it's okay if you tell them that they're going to lose their salvation, you know. No, he didn't do that. That was absolutely unacceptable. There was one thing, and that was the truth. And it was the truth rightfully divided. And yes, you can say exactly what... He was incensed in love about it. It wasn't going to move. It was straight feet. And where that spirit leads, I was following. Amen. This is this type we have in this sweet man. Now, he hears the words of the anointed, the true king, and he falls in love with the soul. No one else heard it but Jonathan. From there, it's a complete surrender. And it was beautiful because we saw that that surrender was his garments. Remember? His garments, his sword, his bow, and his girdle. And the Lord's been just sweetly dealing with my heart more and more about that. You know, the garments, as we started with that, it's not only all of what I have, Lord, is yours. It's all I am is you. Is that not the life that lives in us is him? Didn't you die? And yet... you live, but it's not you, it's Christ in you. Amen. All we are, if we really think about it, is him. All I am is you. And I see that expression of him pulling his garments all off. I'm yours. When we hear the words of the soul of the Lamb, that's what he heard. He heard the words of the soul of the Lamb. We melt in ravished heart. Lord, you know me. There's nothing hidden. I'm naked in your sight. Now, when that happens and those garments are off, that's when, praise God, you have my strength. This is the sword. You've taken it. You're everything. You know me. You're my strength. And then it goes beyond that to that bow, as we said. That was the identity of Jonathan. That's what in our lives sometimes we think that we define ourselves by. People might define us by these things. But Jonathan so gladly said, oh, no. You are everything to me. You define me. I just love that. That was that complete openness that he says, I'm yours. I'm yours. I've given you my bow. That means I am yours. Because you define me. So I love that. I am my beloved's, I am yours, and then his desire is toward me. I believe this is when you give him the girdle. This is, Lord, I want you to be completely fruitful in my life. I believe there's people in here tonight that you want the Lord to be completely fruitful in your life. Amen. And you know that the complete fruit happens only through the whole counsel of God. And you know how it's going to come It's going to come by suffering together with him. Amen. So beautiful. Lord, see, this is, Lord, your desire, take complete control of me and have your way. I believe we fellowship in that, don't we? Amen. And oh, the freedom, the liberty, that it's always been there, but you have it. All this stuff of life, it just, it's gone. The Lord, he, you know, we have to, as people say, oh yeah, you have to exist in this presence. I don't just exist here. I grow here. But I grow here not because I'm here. The only time I'm growing is because I know I'm seated over there. And seated over there, I'm feeding on this. This strengthens me, praise God, to just walk in glory even though I'm walking on this earth. Praise God. You know that transformation because you know it's happening in your life because that's the love and will of our God. Praise the Lord. So, his desire takes complete control of me. Having your way, Lord, having your way to will and do of your good pleasure in me. You got the girdle. Amen. It's wonderful. Now, let's just close this up for tonight. Being with David and seeing him crowned king was Jonathan's only desire now. That's really it. All he wanted to do was to be with David and see him king. That's what he wants to see. All of David's enemies destroyed before him, that he's completely exalted. All right? Is that not our desire? Meeting our bridegroom in the air, watching him take the throne as God, and ruling and reigning jointly together with him forever and ever? That's all Jonathan was thinking about. And you think of all the things that naturally were at his hands, born into, that were right there, that someone could say, well, Jonathan, you've got all this. You could go enjoy all this. And, you know, you could be in the palace. He wanted to be in the field with the one who his soul loved. All he wanted to see was that one elevated. All he wanted to see was the anointed to be exalted. Where are you? Where's your mind even right now? Where are we? By the grace of God, captivate my thoughts, Lord. This is what's reality. This is it. Don't start to wonder, nah, Jesus. Jesus, you're taking care of all my issues. You've never changed. I've never moved from your hand. I'm still right there. He's moving this body through things. He's moving it through. But what mind's in me, and where's that mind? Its confidence is in the Lord. See, my Lord lived the life, the only life, to be obedient to God. By the grace of God, you know, the only thing I want to be obedient to is his grace. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to be obedient to grace. Looking to grace for everything. I believe him. I'm going to disappear out of here someday. And I believe by the grace of God, we'll go together. I don't think it's going to be long either. Praise the Lord. I'm disappearing out of here anyway. Sometimes I don't, well, never mind. But see, in closing this up, this isn't the end of the story. Believe it or not, I thought it was many weeks ago. But once we have this full revelation, like now Jonathan's getting the full revelation, now's going to come the full suffering together to win. It is. Now it's going to come. And we're going to see that in the next couple times we get together, if the Lord tarry. We will see that it will be so similar. The sorrow that Jonathan will experience will be the same sorrow as David. The same suffering, the same javelin that was thrown at David, that same javelin by his daddy is going to be thrown right at him. He's going to enter into joint sufferings together with him. Praise God. It's not going to be any other way. Just like when we fall in love with Jesus Christ, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, oftentimes that love is going to be hated and it's going to be resented. Even the family of God will get jealous over that love, and we will suffer together with Christ. We mentioned that with the Shulamite. Remember the daughters of Jerusalem? They were making fun of her because of her love. Oh, you love him too much. There's other loves. Come on, knock that off. But at the very end, they knew she had it. And they said, oh, return, return, oh, Shulamite. She wasn't coming back. And we ain't coming back. Praise God. So, as we approach the sufferings together, we're going to notice so wonderfully the only way it can happen. David hides himself. See, that's what's going on right now. David hides himself. In a sense, just like our Lord, he awaits us in heaven right now, doesn't he? And Jonathan's got to go back. And Jonathan's got to go eat at the king's table. And Jonathan will eat with his enemies, won't he? Familiar friends, you'd say? How about a familiar dad? Imagine what was going on in this sweet man's heart. But yet he didn't talk about that, did he, very much? Matter of fact, not at all, did he? When you're in love, that's all that you think about. That love. So Jonathan goes and he eats. But you'll notice he's in tune only with the place of departure. Happiest people I know are living at the place of departure. Like I said, sweet Brother Hill. I still can see his face. I still hear those words. Laying there on the floor, raked with cancer, falling down, couldn't get back up. I don't know how long he'd sit there, but I told him, Papa, what you doing down there? He looked up and he says, Jess, you think he could come today? And it was eyes of a 16-year-old dancing. Those are the things I want to remember. Now, Jonathan, it will say, arose. You see, he's the only one that arose. He rises up and he stands. And by the grace of God, we're going to have to stand. Yep, we're going to have to stand. We're going to stand against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And sometimes it's going to manifest itself through some people that we're pretty close to. Yep. Our lives need to be about one thing, and that's to win Christ. And most importantly, the willingness to depart even from family, from the riches of this present world, and all because of love. And specifically, how did Jonathan fall in love? By hearing all the words. And then, praise God, the only thing that comes upon your heart, I just want to depart. Amen. You don't have anything better than Jesus coming. You don't want him to delay. Heard somebody say, well, I'd like him to come after. No, you don't. Because he'll come before that, and then, well, never mind. I don't want to scare you, but that's okay. Sure love you. Good night. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.